Welcome to the Geek Together Podcast.
My reign has just begun.
I can't blame him for trying. I mean, everybody wants to be Batman.
Where we'll discuss Comic-Con collectibles, pop culture, all hot trash releases, and more.
Prepare to launch.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Geek Together. We have another special interview episode where we're joined by Mike from Sauce Drops Toys. We're going to talk about his journey to probably starting off as, I'm just saying probably because we haven't had this conversation yet. Started off as a collector, got into designer toys, and said, hey, you know what? I want to be doing this for a living. So we'll talk about how he got to that point and where his plans are going forward. If you listen to the live before this, we got into it. He has a couple shows. We'll talk about that just to remind you of the details of what's going on there. And all the dates and where you can find them, etc. But before we get started, this is your host, Damien. And with me, as always, is
Christina,
Robbie,
and Clint.
And as we mentioned, Mike from Sauce Drop Toys, thank you for joining us and sticking around.
Yes, thank you guys for having me on.
I know it's, I know we always joke that nobody has anything else better to do, but we do. I mean, you know, so it is always, we definitely always appreciate, you taking 2 hours of your life when you, I mean, you're literally there painting and trying to get things ready for your show and taking a break to talk to us is cool. It's good to get to know you. And, you know, again, like I always try to draw a parallel from this podcast to like, hey, if we were sitting in a bar drinking beers, is this what we talk about anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So let's do it here. So just to kind of broad stroke it, why don't you just give everybody a setup of, what's Sauce Drops Toys?
All right. So Sauce Drops Toys is kind of a thing that came to be. As you mentioned, you know, I was a collector, started in Funko, but very quickly went into designer toys. I have a background in marketing of 10 years. And in all honesty, you know, during COVID times, I had recently lost my job and then struggled to find another one. So Sauce Drops Toys kind of birthed out of that, of kind of the back against the wall courage slash, you know, bravery, maybe slash part stupidity, but, you know, taking something I've been passionate about. And, you know, we've been talking about, how just the toy community, just so many people in it are so accepting and willing to help out. Just finding that, it just felt like a right path, to start the store up. And then, you know, hopefully, really honestly, I hope this does lead into making my own toys. You know, starting, I made my own custom for the giveaway, but going on from there, I've got like a dozen ideas roaming around in my head.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of stories like that of, you know, there's a saying, and I think it's very much true, that there's always opportunity in crisis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just finding what that is, right? And you have two paths you could take. You could take the defeated, like, oh, it all happened to me. It's all my, you know, play the victim. Or you could just be like, all right, well, here are the cards dealt to me. What am I going to do with them?
Yeah.
And so I think that's a lot of respect to, you know, that's a great opportunity to go, you know what? Fine. You know, because look, it doesn't work out. You could always, again, things will recover. There will be other opportunities. But I mean, if you get to work in what you love, that I think it's a great opportunity, right? That's winning, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I ultimately wanted to get more involved in the toy community just because of that kind of love I felt and showed there. So this was just another way of doing it too. So like I said, you know, post-COVID times, I hope to go to some of the, you know, designer cons and the comic cons and everything like that and actually meet you guys and see some of these things mm-hmm. in person mm-hmm. and everything like that. And, you know, whatever I've got going on at that point, we're chatting about it. So it's a journey I'm just happy to start taking.
Now, what... speaking of getting into toys, what did you start collecting? Like, what did you start with?
I started, what got me first into it was Funko probably 5-6 years ago. And it was because they did Spike Spiegel from my favorite anime, Cowboy Bebop. And I was like, holy crap, I've never seen a toy of him just, you know, out collectible. So I picked that up and that kind of, you know, started that down the rabbit hole, the Funko rabbit hole. But then, you know, probably about a year or two ago, I started getting into the designer toys. And of course, the first one I found was Quix. And then also, you know, Huck G at Super Plastic and, you know, all those big ones. But then quickly, I started finding all these, you know, smaller names, but that are also big in the designer industry, like Clav and everything like that. And just, I don't know. It's just an amazing culture and community that it just seems right to fall into after Funko, really. And that's kind of like I said, the idea behind the store is to bring more of the Funko fans into that community.
Well, I think it's catching on. I mean, I think you look at our chat, it was filled up with a lot of people that we all met during Funko. Mm-hmm. And most of them are buying designer toys now. That's what they're getting excited about. I mean, yeah. People that were super passionate. And, look, everybody's still going and buying Funko here and there. I mean, that's like the big thing, right? And but they are a big driver to the designer toy industry, whether it be the kind of more high-end stuff to the new kind of mid-tier Tiny Ghost, Barely, Abominable Toys, yeah. Quix. Well, Quix I put more on the upper designer toy frame based on price points, right? It's like double for a lot of price. But I think you understand my point there. It's like it's all over the place, right? And things like the explosion of Designer Con, the explosion of 5 Points, Designer Toy Awards, yep. The amount of people into it, the amount of toys being made. Mm-hmm. And it could be self-selection or whatever, but because of the community we decided to hang out in. But it seems like every time I turn around, another friend of mine is making a toy or just started making a toy or thinking about making a toy. So
enablers, all of them.
And all of them are enabling, sharing links, pointing out new things. You know, I'm getting texts right now from Worldwide Tag-Em headquarters in San Antonio of, you know, okay, Damien, which ones did you want again? You know, like, great. Which is great. It's a wonderful
first
community.
First problem there.
Right. Totally.
Well, but I'm just saying the point is like the community is very helpful and all the artists we meet is like every time I meet another artist, like, you know, I have some cloth pieces, but I guarantee what's going to happen is I'm going to meet him. He's going to be super cool. We're going to learn a lot of cool things. And all of a sudden we're going to be buying a bunch of his stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, he's such a nice guy. I want that piece now. You know,
exactly.
What do you got? Your website. And so anyway, to that end. So look, with your marketing background, which is, I think, very beneficial in setting this kind of stuff up.
Yeah.
What is it that you're hoping to do different with Sops Drops Toys? Like, what was it that you had in your mind that said, you know, I'm going to do this, and the reason why I'm going to do this is because this was missing in the market?
I think it was, I was just kind of watching from being a collector and kind of the way drops had been going and everything like that. And then I think, you know, also back to your point of just how big the toy community is and how quickly it's growing. Like, I honestly don't plan to try to I'm not doing this to try to become rich. I'm basically just like, let me have my little corner and let me, you know, do what I'm doing over here. And, you know, I'm not trying to be Martian Toys or anything like that. But, kind of the niche and idea is of, I've been watching what's going on in other retails of drops are a big thing. I've heard people complain they're too frequent. So that's kind of like why I backed it up to biweekly drops. I've just been paying attention to all these different things, and it's kind of what created the idea of, you know, okay, I'm only going to do these drops and it's going to be a consistent thing. It's going to be built more around building up the artists. So like moving into the drop, you're going to see more posts about like Gory and Tara McPherson and things like that. And it's really about building the community and promoting these artists. Even some that have made it big, some that are small, you know, given ones like Mad Monkey an opportunity. I don't know. It's kind of like just trying to carve my own little piece. I don't know if there's anything I'm necessarily doing that's super spectacular or different in a way, but I think I am kind of taking bits and pieces of the best parts of what I've seen and trying to implement those, you know?
No, that makes a lot of sense. And so to kind of create, like, as a collector, what you would have wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a retailer.
It's basically, you know, I'm personally curating the pieces of kind of, you know, I'm in these different collector groups and Funko groups and things like that. And just kind of watching, I don't know, it's kind of just taking in all the data from what I'm seeing and have been seeing over the past year, and then kind of applying it to hopefully bring a good experience for collectors, you know, designers. And then also I'm enjoying doing it myself. So.
So, and I don't know the numbers, maybe I should know this. And maybe you've done some research, but what is the market cap in designer toys right now, you think? As far as spending going on there, like, is it a, you know, multi-billion dollar business out there? I mean, what, so my point is like, and growing, right? It'd be probably interesting to do those statistics to see, you know, opening a store of, you know, this is the market for designer toy. Obviously we know Funko, their numbers are public and it's one place you're going, but then there's plenty of room clearly for Figpen. There's plenty of room for Abominable. Now, some of them are capped because they limit what they sell, but I wonder as the industry as a whole, like what research has been done, if there's anybody watching that market. There's not a lot of public companies, so probably not a ton of it, but it'll be interesting to know like what's the size of that market in relation to getting a foothold in it, because I think there's plenty of room.
Oh yeah.
Is where I'm going with this, because there's so many drops and distributing it around. And I've seen like, and you probably had these conversations already, like Martian Toys is subbing out to that, subbing out is probably not the word, but partnering with people for their releases. So not just holding them, but like giving them out to retailers. Like we've seen recently, like Smyworld, who's a small, I mean, look, not a lot of people there. We're not talking Martian Toys. We're not talking Funko. We're talking a guy in New Hampshire running a shop. He didn't even do the con circuit yet. Like he was just getting started. He might have done some of the East Coast, to be fair, but he's got a quick, you know, he had a Quicks piece. Poppin' Beers had a Quicks allotment.
Yeah.
Plastic Empire is doing a lot of different now. They've partnered closely with Abominable Toys to do distribution and marketing, like Martian Toys has done with Quicks, and like BIM Toy is doing with Tiny Ghost, and Tiny Ghost is now doing with Barely. And so anyway, I think I have a question there somewhere and I'm formulating it. And I think the question is going to go in, okay, so now you're selling retail. There's plenty of room to be a retailer and you can stock the stuff that I can get anywhere. What are you doing what are your kind of goals of having a different market? I'm going to go to Sauce Drops Toys to buy something that I can't just get everywhere else.
I think, with the similar one with Saru, I'm working with another smaller artist. I think those are probably because honestly, being my size and everything like that, and just being me, and you know, I'm behind Smy, even though they're new. I mean, they've already got a few steps ahead just with how quick this industry has moved. I think me kind of getting the opportunity with the smaller artists and working with them is kind of where I don't know. I guess my little niche will be. And then along with, I really did enjoy pulling together like this custom show. So I think, continuing those, I've already thrown out a random idea to a few other artists of trying to do one in January, February, and the reception's already been good. So that's another, you know, kind of own little branding I can put in my way to, you know, not do exactly just the same shows as everyone and bring in different names and everything like that. So, and honestly, it's continually evolving every day just with how quickly everything's going. Like you said, you know, people I've been talking with for a while that I don't expect to hear back from, all of a sudden I'll hear back from or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like you mentioned with Martian Toys, like I hope at some point I do have, I'm one of the retailers you've been talking about now where I can get some of their pieces. And I do hope one day to get a Quicks piece. But at least having that partnership and just, I don't know, I kind of want to have a lot of the selection at my graphs so that I can just pick the best of it. And, you know, I'm not trying to be, like I said, a huge store, because I honestly, I don't know, I don't see it growing to where I hire a bunch of people and everything like that. Mm-hmm. It's more of a passion project and job and, you know, retirement plan, if you want to call it that. But other than that, it's, I don't know.
I think it's a, you know, as I look into it from a different angle on a toy maker side and all the retailers out there, and everybody's after an exclusive.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, because that's what, look, you want to have that thing, even if it's a Funko exclusive, like whether it's Funko Pop or whatever, like you want everybody to have to go through you to get it.
Right.
Yeah. So you can control that distribution. I mean, and so I've seen like Smy doing, like, even with small, like to your point, your niche point with small designers, I think you can offer an opportunity that, hey, I want something that's exclusive to Sauce Drops, but doesn't mean you're exclusive to Sauce Drops.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, just give me 20 pieces, give me 10 pieces, whatever that, it is. That, like, but yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's exactly kind of the approach I'm doing with, say, the Awful Waffle. And then I don't know if you guys have heard of Fetch for Donuts. I'm actually working with them. So that's a huge one in the projects right now, where they're just going to give me an exclusive colorway. So nice. that's kind of, and as you know, too, I've tried to reach out to, Dahlia to try to get my own exclusive with that one. And yep. So, you know, I am definitely, definitely doing that kind of approach and just like, Hey, give me 10, 20, we'll do a very limited, we'll do, you know, like I said, my kind of thing is I do like the black and gold, but I also do love glow. So if you know, you look at my certain collection, that's kind of what you'll see too. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I've been reaching out to a lot of designers with too. And I mean, I have up through at least the end of the year, kind of my own exclusive. So I'm feeling good now and I just got to keep the ball rolling. And then, you know, more and more toy designers are coming up. So I just got to keep my eyes on the swivel too.
Mm-hmm. And I think the good thing with especially, I mean, let's go down that line of, and if you hope you don't mind me geeking out on this, because I'm definitely thinking about the market a lot.
No, that's fine.
If you go down the line of small retailer, small designer, right? So it's like, how do you create how do you become a big fish? Right. And so it's really easy to say small designer, if you're chasing after the big name item, you're going to lose out. Like you're going after Quicks, so you got to work your way up there. Martian Toys going to have a lot, but everybody wants it. They can sell it all day long. I joke all the time, like, you know, all these people, like they could release anything in a box and it sells in 10 seconds right now, right? Clutter Toys, et cetera. And Clutter is probably going to do the same thing with Canbot. They get a lot more out. Maybe there's an opportunity there. But small toy designers have the same problem. Like, how do they get in Martian? They don't. And if they, even if they had a piece of Tenacious or Martian Toys or Odafugi or Toy Tokyo, how do they become the feature?
Yeah. Mm-mm.
And so I think the opportunity with the sauce drops and the smaller vendors is like, hey, we're going to take your piece and it's mutually beneficial here. Like we're getting an exclusive to drive a fan base to learn about us and maybe other things, but you're going to be a big deal to us. You're on the front page. We're going to hype it up. We're going to make it like with social media and marketing. I mean, there's a huge opportunity there that you can do things that the big players can.
Yeah.
And it becomes a bigger, more meaningful drop.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm trying to do with these guys. So with Saru, you saw I put up the first post today. It's kind of like a little teaser, the legend of Matt Saru, and then I'm going to expose it a little more and more. And that's kind of, it's funny that you mentioned that because back when the idea of creating Sauce Drops toys, I was actually thinking of two different career paths. And one was, should I create a store or should I try to become like a marketing consultant for the designer toy artists and things like that? And just the way things kind of rolled naturally, it went more toward the store, but it's funny because I mean, with working with these smaller artists, I'm almost helping them with creative direction, on their toys, just from what I've learned in the industry and, you know, them being new. And it's just crazy the amount of different opportunities. It's, I just imagine it opening a lot of doors just mm-hmm. from the starting point, you know, kind of thing.
Well, I think it's pretty cool because I think, look, I mean, the globalization of the marketplace is happening in everything, right? It's the world. Yeah. The world is flat, kind of not flat Earth, but you know what I mean from an economy standpoint. I want to make that very clear because somebody will quote me like he's a flat earther. I'm not, but you know what I think. You know what I mean from an economy standpoint. We're looking at a worldwide economy being blended into one, and because of that and the technology, it's all flattening the opportunities of barriers of entry into things. Yeah. Everything from manufacturing on demand to being a store that doesn't have to have a storefront at all, with social media, how easy it is to set up an online storefront. And now you can drop some money on advertising here. And if you know how to use it better, it can really make a difference. Whereas it was impossible even as short as 5 years ago.
Yeah. That's basically what gave me the confidence to do this is, you know, it was like, I've got the experience. I know how to build a website. I know the social media strategy. I know how to, you know, do paid search strategy, everything like that. So why not just put it all together and make it happen, you know?
Well, I think that's a big part of it is if you know how to do that. And that's an art.
Yeah.
It's definitely an art. Like, trust me, I suck at it. You can just see like, you know, our social media is just like, we need to get start a social media consulting company for podcasts.
Ooh, that's an idea.
There's an idea for you. You know, we clearly don't.
No, we need
this
to hire money. One.
It's funny. We need to hire one. I was talking to Ben earlier about that. I was like, well, crazy enough, we have zero revenue, but for some reason, we have a very generous budget. We're doing it all wrong.
Yeah, that's funny.
No, but I think you're right. I think that expertise, like you said, applying to this with the way the technology, the access to it, and the connection to people, right? Like now you can connect to people worldwide.
Yeah.
You said you got people in your show that are across the world.
I've been amazed at the people I've been able to just talk to. It's crazy.
And that's probably been the biggest bummer of not being able to go to the shows and everything like this year is just not being able to go hang out with these people and get to know you. Like it would have been much better to hang out at DesignerCon and record this in person, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. On the show floor or at the hotel right there. I mean, so, all right. So you did mention a minute ago that, you know, you want to build into your toys, but obviously you're focusing first on build a store, get the relationships and start there. Cause you can't do too many things at once.
Yeah, no. And like I said, it's almost just kind of been an organic thing the way it's been moving. And I've just been kind of, you know, not to make it sound weird, but going with the flow, and it just has seemed right. And I think, you know, through the store, I've built all these relationships with, you know, casters, designers, painters, and everything like that. So when I do get to that step of making my own, it's going to be so much easier because I have friends I can just reach out to basically at that point, you know?
Yep. And everybody's very, like I said, I mean, we've relied on that so much. I mean, it's funny, a happenstance of like you meet like Fancer Toys. I don't know if you talk to them at all. Actually, they're out in your area, right? They're out in your area.
Yeah, they're down in Vegas. They've also got a piece here.
Why do I always keep putting them in the Bay Area? No, they're in Vegas. You're right.
Most people are out that way.
I'm in Texas. It's that
hence
way.
The Ram.
Yep. I know.
How many drinks have you had?
I'm giving them Bay Area quality in Vegas. That's what I'm doing. They're so good. They're just so good.
A fifth, or you pleaded the fifth? I'm not sure which.
I plead the fifth. So he was pleading the fifth.
Anyway. But those guys have been so awesome. I mean, they've done so much for us, just because of relationships. And then the same thing with you know, Christina and other artists and stuff like that. So it's great. And even just getting to know you that way, same thing, right? Just randomly reaching out. Okay. So when's your launch officially?
It is October 24th. So next Saturday, a week from today.
Big deal. And what's going on? So what's your URL?
It will be saucedrops.com.
Saucedrops.com.
Yep.
Fantastic. And then, so you're going to have all the, you know, if you watch the live, if you haven't seen the live, go back twitch.tv/geektogether. He showed a lot of the pieces but if you go to his Instagram, which is Saucedrops Toys,
pretty amazing pieces, actually. Some
pretty amazing pieces that are going to be going live Saturday.
And then I haven't even begun to show the 30, you know, sticker exclusive pops. So I have those as well that'll be going up.
Oh, that's right. So you will have Funko going live too. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you also going to be a Funko seller? Like you have an account there and you're getting those too, or?
Yeah. I'm going to be very selective with what I bring to Funko. So if you see, it seems like a lot of the stores now, they're just kind of bringing in everything that's being released. But I'm going to be very selective and try to, again, only stick with kind of sticker exclusives and things like that, rather than just being a full on Funko distributor.
Right. Well, from what I understand too, I was talking to a lot of people this week after the recent wave of drops, and it's getting really hard.
Oh yeah.
For people that used to be able to buy something. Like I know of, even like Plastic Empire posted in our group, they weren't able to get the latest stuff.
Yeah, no.
Even though they put the order in early.
They just dropped like 30 things too. So it's getting crazy.
And so many people, and apparently they upped their allocation to like Entertainment Earth and Hot Topic, they bought more.
Oh, wow.
Because things are going well. So it cut out a lot of the smaller time retailers.
More and more.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yep.
Well, you know, apparently goth emo shirts aren't selling as well as exclusive. So, you know, they're going to increase that revenue because everything, it just sells, right? I mean, it's just popular. I mean, Funko's doing great right now.
And that's also, you know, another reason with more of the business side of it, of why I wanted to go toward Designer Toys, is just getting into the Funko business just seems a little messy. Like I've been watching it as well. And, you know, of course the consideration was there, but, you know, I think just sticking with stuff I know people will want and not having to try to get everything will be a safer little bet for me.
I think if you go the route, like you're saying, if you're going after sticker exclusives, that means obviously you're going more aftermarket.
Yeah.
Procuring some of that stuff.
I do have an account with Entertainment Earth. So, you know, I do have a a case of Barnacle Boy and Mermaid Man, you know, on the way for the store. So that'll be a part too. So
okay, that's cool.
So there's a few out there you can get, but
I've seen a lot of that. Yeah.
A lot of it is me just trying to look for right deals and everything like that. You know, I guess something I should mention is the store will be part retail and part resell. So, you know, I should clarify, definitely I'm never going into drops and trying to take things away from collectors on drops. Like, things that I find, like I said, are through relationships I have through the artists, where they're like, hey, I have this extra piece, do you want to go ahead and get it? And things like that, you know. So
being, so you're not gonna put like your family in line at Target and then put them
no on the okay. No. That's no good. So a lot of the things I do, you know, it's being a collector first and, you know, having the collector in mind. But, you know, at least the nice thing is on the business side of things, I've made great relationships and things like that. So there's enough, but there's plenty left for me basically to do the store thing.
Nice.
Fantastic. So Clay, Robbie, Christina, have any questions? I'm hogging the whole thing. I got, you know, as I usually can.
You're doing a fine job. That's why. But I am curious more about, I know you talked about your show. I don't really talk much about that on the recording. Can you give us more details about that and maybe some things you're really looking forward to with that?
What was that last part? I had a little,
just what else are all good. What you're like looking forward to? Was maybe some pieces or something special you think is going to come out of that?
Yes. Let me definitely, because like I said, Taran was blowing me up and saying I have to show his piece. So at least I got to show that on the show. I've got the Black Panther for Black Lives Matter, art and charity show coming up, where I have about 25 different artists, with everything from designer toys, custom, and they're all one-off custom designer toys, custom pops, custom print, which I show, two custom prints, which I showed on the, show earlier. And then I've even got a couple paintings. So just nice. Like I said, this started with me wanting to take Flipper money and do good with it, and just evolved into such a great bigger thing. The response has been so great so far. And some of the, here, I'll go ahead and show at least some of the favorite pieces. We'll go ahead and get, and all these, it's great because all the artists basically sent a sticker pack with all of their toys as well. So, but definitely I have to show off the first one. So this is the, I don't know if you guys saw the recent Taran Kickstarter.
They're on the show with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I have a few of the jetpacks over here. I need to start sanding.
Yeah. So we got the jetpack here too. But they did this. This is their first 3D printed Taran, and maybe their only 3D printed Taran at this size, is what they said. But did it specially for the show. And awesome. I got to tell you, with all these pieces and being a collector, I'm just like, man, I would love to just keep these myself.
Everybody says that.
Yeah.
Yep. We were talking to Big C last week, who did the baby fats, right? And he had a show. Yep. We actually were watching the show today, had the preview show today for his show, his art show for the Baby Fats collaboration. There's so many amazing pieces. Mm-hmm. He's like, I got to sell these things. I want to keep them all.
Yeah, that's how I feel about mine too. So, but it's all going for a good cause. So, you know.
Yes, why don't you talk about the cause? Like, I might have missed it. I think I would listen to the show.
I don't know if I actually said it yet.
I'm hoping you didn't, but I'm erring on the side of caution that I might have missed it.
All the profits from the toys sold, and like I said, it'll be an auction to hopefully drive in as much money as possible. But all the profits from the toys sold will be going toward Black Lives Matter, and then also I want to try to split it in some way to where some of the money can go to Stand Up to Cancer in honor of Chadwick Boseman.
Boseman. Yeah.
Yeah, because he had done a campaign with them previously, and of course it just it makes sense. So. That's I guess the main details. And
I think it's a good tribute of that. You know, look, I mean, it was shocking to everybody. Again, he did such a good job of keeping his private life private, which kudos to him for that, right? Because I mean, if you're going to go through that, you don't want it to be through the lens of media and everybody, you know, needing to talk about it. And the good he was doing up until that point, knowing he was going through, and then it felt so sudden to the rest of us. I think you saw the same thing we did, where we saw the prices going up and people trying to take advantage of the moment.
Yeah.
And so I think your thought is not, I think we all had that kind of thought, which is like, we had them in a few groups and we blocked the sale of that stuff. We're like, no, you're not going to do it here. Take it to eBay, but you're not doing it here. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a good tribute of having these artists come in and put their, it's not just selling a product of his likeness, having people making like what you're making, right? With the angel wings.
Yeah.
The custom piece with the angel wings on it is a tribute piece. And then the art you showed on the live show, it's really cool to see artists creating their interpretation and kind of tribute. And great causes to donate to.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I mean, the response was overwhelming with the number of people. And like I said, to get people like Clav and Serg and Destroy on there and stuff like that, and them to take time out for the show, knowing they weren't making any money on it with everything else they've got going on, I was just humbled and just excited. And just like I said, it just helped me push forward that I was kind of doing the right thing, because that's, you know, one thing I want to do through the store, too, is, you know, if I can offer for a product where part of the proceeds go toward a good cause that I believe in, I want to definitely get that in my store. So, you know, it's just the beginning of that, I guess.
Rad.
No, that's cool. That's fantastic. I think that's really cool. And I look forward to the launch. And I look forward to seeing where your shop grows.
Yeah,
for definitely. Sure. So one thing we didn't talk about.
No,
we got the show. We talked about the store. What is your, I mean, you mentioned before black and gold and glow, but let's get specific. Like, what is it you collect?
That's the thing, is I kind of collect a little bit of everything. I mean, if you see, I've got, you know, Super Plastic up here with Googie Mon. I've got a Dr. A Dunny over here. I mean, I collect what I love and what I see that I like. You know, like I said, I do definitely lean toward the golden black or glow type. But I mean, I've got just favorite artists out there like Rios. I try to get all of his pieces, and I don't know. It's the same kind of I don't know, things you see go into my collection is kind of the same, you know, vibe I'll bring into the store and things like that, I think.
Do you still collect Funko?
Oh yes.
Okay, just making sure.
I just recently, I've already got it in my toy Tower of Doom, or I should call it a Funko Tower of Doom over here. But it's already in there, but I would have showed that during the show earlier when you're doing show and tell, but I've got a Nightwing from that for my personal collection at least.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice. That's a good choice. I got a Nightwing as well somewhere.
You DC
fans. Do I have it?
I'm sure you have it.
Don't worry. I've got this whole row right here is all X-Men. So this is my
There you go.
X-Men. I guess sure. I collect a little bit of everything. I love the Fantastic Spastic line on Funko, Super Plastic, Kid Robot. I mean, I collect the big ones, and I also collect the smaller designers. It's just a lot of great stuff out there.
That's very expensive. Cool.
Yeah.
I've definitely, since deciding to start the store, there's been this weird balance of collector versus store and trying to like figure out where to spend the money. But, you know, I did have to bring, I did buy one designer toy from NYCC from Tenacious Toys, that JFO Danger Dog bust. I'm a huge JFO fan, and usually his pieces are like $300 minimum. So I was like, $115, I got to do
it. Yeah, that's the thing. Coming in from Funko collecting, it's funny. The progression is like, $15, $30. Yeah. Like, oh my god, it's ridiculous. Then it's like, $200 for a Megatech. Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. $40 for a Tiny Ghost. $50 shipped every week. You know, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It adds up, right?
It does, and fast.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be your dream artist to have an exclusive with?
I would definitely love to have one with my favorite Rios, or you know, to get a Quicks exclusive or a Sket One. I mean, some of those bigger name guys, I would love. I mean, heck, if Huck, you know, came from behind the curtain of Super Plastic and did his own, like that would floor me, you know, but. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think those are pretty normal names there that people would want to have.
You're going to have a Vance or Toys piece in your show, right?
Yes.
You have that one on hand?
Yes.
Robbie wants a sneak peek.
Well, that's the one where he's lifting his arm, right?
Oh, it's the Black Panther one, yeah.
Yeah.
That one is cool.
Yeah, that's rad.
Sorry, nobody else can see it, but it's awesome.
It's not the Black Lives Matter. It's actually Black Panther. Very
cool. Black Panther, yeah. Robbie's going to have to go for that one.
Yeah.
For those of you that can't see the audio,
which
will be all of you listening. It's a ramble. If you've seen Ramble on Vance Rotoy's website, but with the basically dressed up or cosplaying as Black Panther. It's really cool.
If you can see the audio, you need to quit doing the drugs, because
or keep doing what's getting you through these times. You know?
Right. But
funny, I totally didn't realize this wasn't on video.
Yep.
That's a cool piece, though.
We forget that sometimes, too. Don't worry.
Yes. But shout out to the Vancer guys. They do good stuff, man.
Yeah, I've got some, just so I can show you this.
Straight out of Las Vegas, Nevada, of the United States.
Ooh.
Oh, that's cool. What is that? What's that piece of that? Oh,
Todd L. He did I think 8-inch key, if I'm saying that right. Yeah. Black Panther. And then across it, like Supreme, it says Forever. I wanted to show that one to Robbie. I figured he'd appreciate it.
That's great.
Cool. I like the Forever part. It's a nice touch.
I feel like that's some Black 3.0.
Yeah, so those are a few things that I haven't
quite. Christina's picked out the actual paint they used.
I believe that's sparkle.
What a dork.
No.
Nope. Long podcast. You can just like cut this part out of the podcast. I'll go ahead and do all the show and tell. This is the cloth piece.
That is cool.
That's cool.
And until he tells me a different name, I'm going to go ahead and call it the Black Panther Rebel Tech, because I'm pretty sure he took a tech body and then took the Rebel Ink head to make this piece.
Well, that's exactly what he did there. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just really cool.
That is neat.
That is cool.
We're gonna take a tech body and put a Dahlia head on it.
Nice.
I think you might need to go for that one, Damien. I like
that. Yeah, maybe. It's for a good cause.
There you go. So
it's like the right size.
Yeah. It about is.
Oh, that could be cool. All right. I was just joking.
There's a lot of great pieces.
Maybe I'm not joking anymore.
That are gonna be in the show. I'll keep revealing over time on the posts and everything like that. And then I've been considering too on some of the pieces, or if I'm able to go ahead and start the auction on Instagram, just to give maybe people a chance that aren't able to jump into the live. So I'm still kind of working out the final details in that.
Yeah. Because I feel like there's fewer Facebook users now than there used to be. So it'd be cool to have different avenues for it.
Yeah. I wish IG Live had a better like tracking system on like their timestamps and everything like that, because then it'd be perfect to go through there.
Well, you can always do the.
What about Twitch? Can you do that sort of thing on Twitch?
Well, no. I mean, he's right about people aren't all on there, but maybe Twitter.
Or YouTube.
Or Periscope through Twitter. Yeah.
I've already YouTube been advertising Facebook Live now. It's too late.
No. Okay. All right. Just trying to get you maximum exposure.
I think Facebook Live is fine. Just make it public so it's easy to link to and get there. Everybody has an account. They just have to dust it off, maybe.
Right. Yeah. The nice thing is, if you have an Instagram account, you most likely have a Facebook one, just because they're so connected.
That's
a good point.
That's true. I think it'll be fine. People that want stuff, they'll find a way to get there. I mean, God, there was people on there sniping me on freaking Pop Shop Live. I didn't know that was a thing until 2 days ago. I mean, so there's plenty of people there to give me an L. So I think it'd be okay.
Damien's not used to that. So,
ow. Yeah,
exactly.
He's got the quick fingers.
I usually do. That was pretty. I wasn't on my game. I don't know what to tell you. It was terrible. I'm gonna blame lag, because people were buying it before it even showed up on my side. Sometimes
just blame it on bots.
That's always the bots.
It's crazy, because even being on the the wholesale retailer side, like the Martian Toys drops and things like that, it's almost just as hard as it is on the collector side to get like the toys that you really want to sell through your store. It's getting crazy.
Well, that's
the
point where I stayed with Funko before. Like, you have to be on it. Like, you are getting a drop. Like, people got to get bots to go get to buy the stuff to sell to bots.
To get bots to sell to bots.
Let me just cut out the middleman. I'm just gonna be like, hey Funko, just go direct to bot.
Direct spot.
Anyway,
the Martian Toys drop on that we got last week. We had multiple people get it on that one day, and I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
And also,
they apparently have a new thing to not to beat the box.
Apparently, right? They do. I mean, and even and apparently even Bimtoy did too. I mean, so real people got the drops. So they're doing some things different on the website where the links aren't actually there. Like they're not actually there for computers to find them. Apparently, so.
And then they do a prize drop as well.
Abominable has done a good job with that, where it's been the only problem with Abominable Toys doing that to me is like I gotta pay attention all damn day. but when they do drop, if you're there at the time it drops, you're decently successful. Like you will get it. Because the bots aren't ready and they're not monitoring and it's a different URL and there's no time to wire up, there's no time to be ready, right? I mean, so I think that's fantastic. So I do think that's the right way. I think that's a good thing. Because frankly, I have probably a better shot if I know approximately, like I was good for NYCC because I knew it was going to happen. It's the ones that I don't know they have anything I was supposed to be looking, you know, that's the problem. But I think overall, I think the surprise drop does work pretty good.
Yeah, and I've been paying attention to all these different things that people have been doing with the drops too, because as I start to get, you know, kind of the bigger toy names and, you know, things like that in my drops, I want to implement, you know, best practices basically at that point.
Yep.
Makes sense.
No, it'd be interesting. It'd be really cool. Yeah. Look, you know, I'm excited for you. I think I'm going to look forward to what you're doing on the marketing side. I think bringing that experience to it is awesome. I like your approach of working with the small designers, a lot of them.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think it's a good opportunity for both people to be at the ground floor and grow together.
Yeah, for sure. Right? There's a ton of like virtually unknown artists that have like fairly strong, small followings, but the large, like the masses of collectors just haven't heard of them yet. And it's kind of nice to have somebody shine a spotlight on them every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I hope to do, and you know, ultimately the goal and everything. So
you can be advertised, like, because I think a lot of people get fatigued too because there's so many things you just can't buy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could love it all day long, but you just have no shot.
Yep.
If you're truly a casual buyer, if you're not that person that's going to put that time into being there, refreshing, clicking, building a personal network of people to buy it for you, you know, or going to the whatever, you know what I mean? Whatever advantage you can build in this crazy world, if you're not doing that, then it's impossible for you. Like, you can't be I think I might walk in and look at that tiny ghost, put it back down on the shelf, and then decide to buy it an hour from now. It's just not happening, you know? You better be damn committed. I mean, I actually think that's why some people end up buying things they, you know, at first it's like, well, why are they putting it for sale? I think they're just going for every damn thing because they can't get the ones they want.
Oh, totally.
Actually, yeah. that is a strategy that I've always told you. It's like, if you sort of want it, just buy it because it's not going to be hard to get rid of later if you really want to. Yeah.
You have that saying that you never regret something you bought. So
it's true. Exactly. But if you go him and ha on it and it all sells out, then it's going to cost you way more later.
Yep. Yeah, I'm really upset right now about the can bot that I missed out on.
I'm sorry.
You did it so well earlier.
Coming in January, there will be a CanBot available at Sauce Drops Toys.
So. Oh, good. Nice. Don't forget us that moment.
All right. I remember you guys. You gave me my first, you know, shining in the spotlight.
That's right. We're going to give you the Geek Together bump. We're gonna.
There you go. That's the thing.
Yeah, you do thing. Need to message me again about January.
Okay.
Did you just say about?
Yes, you did.
I did say about
your Canadians coming out. All right.
Geek Together bump. You know how many of those minis people went and bought after the show?
Yeah, I know. It's true.
How do you know?
Well, because I was one of them.
Oh.
If Clint buys it, that means the regular Joe is buying 10.
That's right.
Gary put some on order and is picking them up.
Yeah. Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
No, it's a real thing. We can sell at least 15 of things.
Yeah, it's
true.
I agree with that.
I definitely, like I said, with some of these smaller artists, I've definitely got some fun exclusives coming up. I'm sure we'll hopefully show up in Robbie Sack.
Yeah, right.
Hey, just send it to him.
Yeah,
we'll happily. Right now, it's free placement.
Yeah.
I'm my own up and coming.
Maybe if we hire a marketing manager someday, we'll take advantage of that somewhere. But you know, for now, it's all, we don't care. I often make the joke, it's like, well, I started the podcast for fun, but really I don't want payment or money or anything like that. I just want to be able to buy things. I just want to make friends and buy things.
That's all I want. Just a 2 minute leeway.
Two minutes. He's by like nine by then.
A luxurious 1 minute would be great.
Right.
One minute.
One minute head start. 1 minute head start. Yeah.
simple people with simple goals.
Yeah. That's all you need. We're gonna spend it anyway.
Right. Yeah. Might as well take it from us.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey Mike, awesome to hang out with you. Nice to get to know you.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing the shop go live. Look forward to being part of it. I know we are talking with you about Dahlia. I think it would be a great pairing as well.
Yeah.
We're kind of in the same boat. We're just like, we have people coming and, you know, talking to us about it. And you know, you want to be able to do something with everybody. But, you know, we are same thing. Like, everybody's busy.
Yeah.
Trying to figure where we're going and just having fun with it and see where it goes. No expectations. As long as it stays fun.
Exactly.
Then there's no work there.
Same approach I'm taking with the store, and
fantastic.
I don't want it to become too much harder work. I want to enjoy it and enjoy these relationships I'm building. It feels almost like a family, so it works out.
Awesome.
Yeah, that works out. Yeah. Mike, why don't you plug yourself again, where people can find you and any upcoming fun events you have coming up.
All right. Sauce Drops Toys, either on Instagram or Facebook. The website coming up, launching on October 24th, is Sauce Drops. I have a couple of great giveaways going on the Instagram right now. One for a designer toy, and then the other one I'm going to be posting is for that custom Black Panther pop that I did. And then leading right into that, we've got the Black Panther for Black Lives Matter charity art show with 25 different designer art toys, prints, pops, all kinds of great artwork that is honoring Chadwick Boseman, Black Panther, and all the proceeds for that are going to Black Lives Matter and Stand Up to Cancer. So all right. Kinds of fun stuff going on in the next month. And just like you guys said with yours, just excited to see where this journey takes me.
That's fantastic. So yeah, we'll have to, I think that's a great way of starting. It's a great kickoff to your adventure.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Until next week. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Yeah.
We're always.